is the Lord of my soul.
Worship your holy name. Okay, well, let's get started. We got 5 out of 6, not too bad. We drop a few here and there. Hope not.
I think it's good to leave it open if there's not noise outside.
It's just for the... It's okay like that?
I don't care. The Lord's here with the door open or closed. All right. There we got a full boat now. Get him a chair. Oh, he's got a chair. Okay. Well, let's pray once again as we begin session 5 and starting with chapter 13. Father, we thank you for your word. And as we go through it pretty quickly, we do get a flow of how you're working. So guide us and lead us as we go forward. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, chapter 13, verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 horns and 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name.
Je vis monter de la mer une bête qui avait 10 cornes et 7 têtes. Et sur ses cornes, 10 diadèmes, et sur ses têtes, des noms de blasphème.
So we have here the introduction of what we typically call the Antichrist.
Écoutez là, nous avons une bête là qui typiquement est l'Antichrist.
There is actually going to be 2 Antichrists in a sense.
Non, ça se parle de 2 Antichrists.
The one from the sea here, and then we'll have another one a little bit later on this chapter called from the earth. These are creatures, men actually, being empowered by Satan to do his work. So the first one we see rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. We're not positive about that, but most think that represents the nations of Europe. 10 horns, 10 nations in the European community. Or we might say even out of Rome, out of the Roman Empire. They couldn't. So we have this one coming out of that area. We have a description of him in chapter 2, verse 2. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like those of the feet of a bear, and like the mouth of a lion. So again, looking backward, Daniel talked about these. And we saw that we had the Babylonian Empire and the Medo-Persian Empire and the Grecian Empire, with the Babylonian Empire being last of those 3 or 4, and referred to as a lion there, as you just read. But now we see the dragon, or Satan, gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Verse 2. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. So somebody tries to take out the Antichrist, and it looks like he is killed, but then it says he's healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast.
Et toute la terre était dans l'admiration derrière la bête.
Now Satan is the master deceiver. So he gives this false beast, or this beast, his deceptive powers. And it looks like he's healed. And so the world says, wow, let's worship him. He rose from the dead. And we further see him described here in verse 5. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. So here's a man given authority for 3.5 years to speak against the Lord. He's speaking against the Lord for 3.5 years. Verse 6, then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. So to make war with the saints, who are the saints?
Us.
I don't think so. We're in heaven. I think the saints are Israel. See, Israel is still on the ground for the most part. Israel is still on the earth for the most part. So he was given authority to make war with the saints and to overcome them for a time period, for a short period. Okay, that was repeating verse 7. And give the last part of verse 7 reads, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. So that means this Antichrist beast has authority over everybody. Then we read in verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of the Lamb of Life. So that's an interesting verse, isn't it? Names not written in the book of life. Now, of course, God knows the end from the beginning. He knows who's going to receive him and who doesn't. So he knows from the very beginning whose names are written in the book of life and whose names aren't. But here it says, anyone whose name's not written in the book of life, he's going to follow the beast. He emphasizes it here in verse 9, if anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. And things are going to continue for a time here. Verse 10 says, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So Israel primarily and others that are true to the Lord are going to hold steadfast yet. Now, verse 11 says, then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. So we believe this is the spiritual Antichrist. The spiritual Antichrist will look good, but he will be bad. He looks like a lamb, but he speaks as a dragon. Verse 12 says, he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So this second beast, the spiritual leader beast, will cause the world to worship the first beast. And going on in verse 13, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth and in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. And he tells them who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. So he's going to tell the people to make an image now. And this second Antichrist was granted power to give breath to the first one, that the image of the beast should speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So this is the latter part of the tribulation, and bad things are continuing to happen, and the only way you can come to the Lord is through martyring. And verse 16, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And verse 17, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So this tells us in the end times of the tribulation that we will have to take a mark on our hand or on our forehead. I believe those that take it willingly take it. They willingly know that this is what they must do to continue to buy and sell things, to have. And they know that it means to worship this beast. But at that point, he looks so powerful and in a way so wonderful that they'll say, yeah, I want to worship him. They're deceived. So we then read, here is wisdom. Let him who understands calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, whose number is 666.
Okay. Ceci est la sagesse et que celui qui a l'intelligence calcule le nombre de la bête. Car c'est un nombre d'homme, et son nombre d'homme est 666.
Now, we don't know exactly what that means, other than there are numerical values associated with the letters of the alphabet. In the original language of Hebrew and Greek, there are numbers associated with the letters of the alphabet.
Okay, now, but in the alphabet, we are numbers are referring avec your nom.
So all of the numbers associated with Jesus end up like 888, or a number of 8, which means new beginning. But here this Antichrist name will end up in a number 666. Now, you don't have to try to figure out who that is, because we're not going to be around here when he comes. And we don't know who he's going to be until he comes. So don't try to say it's this guy or that guy or somebody else. That's wisdom, though. At that time, they would understand his name would be ending up with a divisible by 666. Now, verse 1 of chapter 14, we're going to look at this 144,000 sealed people. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. So this is today's present Jerusalem, and Mount Zion is right up here in the high point. And exactly what that's going to look like then after all of this destruction and everything else, I don't know, but it says he saw a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him the 144,000. And notice they all have the name of the Father written on their foreheads. And verse 2, and I heard a voice from heaven like the voice of many waters and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of the harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. So yesterday we had the song that the church sings when it goes to heaven. Today we have a reference given to the martyrs who were killed during the tribulation. They have their own song. And here we have the 144,000 have their own song. And yet we know that eventually we'll pretty much all sing the same song, I believe. These are the ones, verse 4, who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. We were previously told they came from the Jews, 12,000 from each tribe. Here we're told they're virgins, and that they are men, male virgin Jews. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. So during this tribulation period, they will be following him. These were redeemed from men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. So these were brought out of the tribulation to live forever. In their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. So these are the good guys who are going to be leading a lot of people to the Lord during that time. Now these next few verses here have a beautiful message to them. Verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the middle of heaven, having the everlasting people to preach to who dwell on the earth. To every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the seas and springs of water. I really like this particular verse here because it tells us what God's plan is when the end will come. In Matthew 24, which is called the Olivet Discourse, Olivet, O-L-I-V-E-T, that's the sermon that Jesus gave on the Mount of Olives. about end times. And he says, when the gospel is presented to the whole earth, then the end will come. And I believe that's what it's referring to right here. The angel flies through the whole earth to every tribe, tongue, and nation and gives them the gospel, and then Jesus will come. Second coming will happen. Now, there are many evangelistic churches today who believe that Jesus won't come until we get the word out to every nation. I don't think the church is ever going to get the word out to every nation. We scarcely have any more people saved percentage-wise today than we did 2,000 years ago. But the angel is going to proclaim the message to everybody, and then the end will come. That's my opinion of what this means. Then verse 6, and another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Verse 8. So the Bible refers to Babylon as the source of all bad religion. And Babylon is going to be destroyed. In chapter 17, we're going to see the religious Babylon destroyed. In chapter 18, we'll see the commercial Babylon destroyed. But here we're giving a preview saying that Babylon is fallen, Babylon is fallen. And now verse 9, then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, redo verse 8. Then another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then verse 9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. Verse 9 in its entirety. So here we're told very clearly that if you take the mark, you're going to suffer the full strength of God's indignation. Ooh, don't like that if you haven't taken the mark. I mean, if you've taken the mark. Now remember yesterday when we talked about the seven churches, Jesus made to two of the churches, don't worry about the second death, don't worry about the mark of the beast if you're his, right? Because you won't be here. So, continuing on, verse 11, and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Some churches teach that hell is only short term. But what this says here, the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. Verse 11. Forever and ever. And they shall have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. There's no wiggle room on that. There's no way around that. It's forever and ever. Now, verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. So I believe at this point now, everybody is going to have to take the mark or die. And so we read here, blessed is he who dies in the name of the Lord. Now we're already in heaven, and there are many martyrs in heaven, but there's still some on earth who have survived at this point. And if they stay true and give their lives for the name of Christ, they too will be saved. They'll be saved. Blessed are they who die in the Lord from now on. Verse 13, last part. Now, we go on saying, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. So again, a promise for those who overcome even at this late date. It's going to be very hard. Many people of the earth have already been killed at this point. And there's so much deception going on that it'll be really hard to receive Christ at that point. Much easier today. So we want to have a heart for the lost today that they don't go through this. Now, verse 14, then I looked and behold a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden diadem, golden crown. This is Jesus Christ. He's now on a white cloud, and he's got a golden diadem, which is not just a crown, a Stephanos is the other Greek word, but don't worry about that. This is the crown of someone who rules. That's Jesus Christ. In his hand, something looks like a sharp sickle. In verse 15, and another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So everything is happening here according to God's will, perfectly on order, perfectly in plan, and the wrath of God is coming down on the earth, and Jesus, as the judge, with a sickle, he's going to reap the harvest. In verse 16, so he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Verse 17, then another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sickle and gather the cluster of the vine, for the grapes are fully ripe. Verse 19, so the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God.
l'âme jeta sa faucille sur la terre et vendangea la vigne de la terre et jeta la vigne dans le lagon cul de la colère de Dieu.
And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came up out of the winepress to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs.
Amen. Et la cuve fut foulée hors de la ville, et du sang sortit de la cuve jusqu'au mort des chevaux, sur une étendue de 6,100 stades.
So this is an unbelievable sight. There's going to be blood up to the bridles of a horse for 85 miles. 1,600 furlongs is about 85 miles.
85 miles.
But there are going to be hundreds of millions of people killed at this point. Sometimes we refer to that as the Battle of Armageddon. That's a great battle that's at the end of the tribulation.
The battle of what?
Armageddon. Arma means on the mountain. Megiddo is the mountain, and it is that area around Armageddon, which also will stretch on down all the way down here.
What's the name of the mountain?
I think here is Armageddon. Here's Megiddo. And this is all a flat plateau, goes all the way down through here. So if you go down 85 miles, you'll come down to about the end of Israel. I don't know if that's exactly the description. But it says here, that's how much blood will come out at that point in time. Then verse 15, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. Read that.
Verse 1:15.
So we now have the seventh seal, and out of the seventh seal we have the final seven bowls of wrath, and it says when those seven bowls are fulfilled, then the wrath of God is complete. So let's look at these last seven bowls of wrath. Verse 2, and I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victories over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. That's verse 2.
Et je vis comme une mer de verre mêlée de feu. Oui. Et ceux qui avaient vaincu la bête et son image, et le grand homme de son nom debout sur la mer de verre, ayant des harpes et de Dieu et de Dieu.
So now verse 3, they sing the song of Moses, the servants of God, and the song of the Lamb. These are all the songs now being sung. And here is that song. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. And then verse 4, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgment has been manifested. So now as we get ready for these last seven judgments, again we have a scene from heaven where we and others there know that God is doing the right thing, and we're praising Him and we're singing this song of victory together to Him, which we've just read. And all we can think about is God is good. God is perfect. God is just. And when you look around the world today and seeing so much evil and so much wickedness, just know that the end is coming soon. And God is going to make it all right. All right. So now verse 5. After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened.
Après cela, je regardais le temple.
So now the temple in heaven is open, and out of it come these last seven angels with their seven bowls. And verse 6 reads, and out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure white linen and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then verse 7, then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. So here we have the seven angels lined up, each with a bowl of the final wrath of God. In verse 8, the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. So the heaven is just overcome with glory now. No one can enter the temple of heaven now until these last seven bowls are poured out. A wonderful, wonderful thing. But a terrible, terrible thing here on earth. In verse 1 of 16, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. So the first bowl. Verse 2, so the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who had worshipped his image. So what we see here is everyone who has taken the mark of the beast will now break out in these awful running sores, smelly running sores. And there's no cure for them. So that's the first bowl. Now the second bowl, we read verse 3, then the second angel poured out his bowl on the seas, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. Now, in the second trumpet judgment earlier, we saw where a third of the sea creatures die. Now they all die. What a smelly thing that would be. Wow. So, first, loathsome sores. Second, sea turns to blood. Now we have third bowl, the waters, the drinking waters turning to blood. Verse 4, then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. So there's no more drinking water. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and is to be, because you have judged these things. So notice again the praise of heaven here, that what God is doing is right. You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have judged these things. And then verse 6, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. Now notice that. Those who took the mark forced the believers to shed their blood by chopping their heads off. And now notice what God gives them who did this. He is now destroyed. Yeah, he's now destroyed all the sea creatures and all the water, turning it to blood. And so the heaven is saying, they deserve the blood, for they took it from the martyrs. Now you're giving them blood to drink. Okay, you guys want blood? Drink it.
Okay, yo te coupé tête yo que tuer yo yo assassiné yo et que qu'on a bon Dieu qui même livre ça qu'on est là il vit des sang il vit de la fleuve de mar et puis ouais qu'on a les ça les baou sang pour boire qu'on a.
So those are the first three bowls. We got four more to go. Fourth bowl.
Quatrième coupe blanc.
Verse 8, then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. So this is going to be a heat that scorches you. Scorches. Scorches, burns you up. And verse 9, and men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who had power over the plagues. So we see here once again, they're being burned to death, and yet it says they blaspheme the name of God who has power over these plagues and did not repent nor give him glory. That's the end of verse 9. Isn't that amazing? They won't turn. They won't turn to the Lord. So that's the fourth bowl, the great heat burning them. Then the fifth bowl, verse 10. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, that's this Antichrist, and his kingdom became full of darkness. Now notice the next part. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pain and their sores and did not repent of their deeds. So we see over and over God is gracious, gives men chances, but they refuse and they rebel. They did not repent of their deeds. They were in such pain, they were chewing on their tongues. But they just blasphemed God. Now verse 12. Now we got the sixth bowl. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and his water was dried up. Verse 12. Now why are they drying up the river, the big river? Well, the next verse says, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. The river Euphrates separates the east from the west in Europe. And it's got a lot of marshes and swampy parts around it, and it's hard to go across. But here God is going to dry it up. So the kings of the east can send maybe as many as 200 million soldiers in to fight into Israel. 200 million. So at this last great battle in Israel, there's going to be hundreds of millions of people fighting against God. Verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. We are now reading verse 14. So these demonic forces influence the kings of the world to gather them to battle, to go to Israel to battle in the great day of God. So that's this final big, big battle shaping up. Verse 15, a little statement in there. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Verse 15. So here is Jesus interceding with a little statement. Says, be ready. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments. We're talking about the garments of righteousness, not giving in to the beast. And he will be saved. They will be saved if they persevere. Then verse 16, and they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. So that's that last final great battle we're talking about here, where the blood will run up to the bridles of the horses for 85 miles and we'll have hundreds of millions of people killed. So now we're ready for the seventh and final bowl. Verse 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heavens from the throne, saying, it is done. This is the last one. It is done. Verse 18, and there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as a mighty and great earthquake as it has not occurred since men were on the earth. Amazing earthquake. Around the world, everything shaking, going to come down. Verse 19, now the great city was divided in three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Most people think that great city is Jerusalem. We're not positive of that. It doesn't identify it. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Great Babylon refers to the beginning or the source of all false religions. And there's still a lot of false religion going on today. Then every island fled away and the mountains were not found. In verse 20. So here we have so much activity going on, earthquakes and all. The islands sink. Mountains come down. Mountains were not found. It's flattened out. This earth is flattened out with the earthquake. And now we have great hail, ice hail coming from heaven upon men. Each hailstone about the weight of a talent. That's estimated 75 to 90 pounds. 75 to 90 pounds. That would be hail so big it'd come through any structure that was still standing. Now men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. So that's the last thing that happens there. Ooh. But that's the last bowl of judgment. So now the judgment is done. And we are now going to have some more filler. On 17 is religious Babylon destroyed. 18 is commercial Babylon destroyed. And 19, we're going to talk about heaven rejoicing and Christ coming and the great battle and then Satan bound and then the great white right throne judgment and all things ever after tomorrow. So let me have your attention just a moment. If when we eat lunch here, maybe we could just gather right around this area and we can continue to talk about questions and answers, okay? Okay. Well, I mean, we can start before, but when they serve lunch, let's just stay together so we can use that time to talk. Let's close in prayer now this session as we have come in this second session all the way to the end of the judgments actually being poured out through Revelation chapter 16. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to get through so much of your word today, and yet another big day tomorrow. But so much victory. So clear as the bad things are coming. But so clear of your majesty and your righteousness. And that you are a good God. And that hidden in Jesus Christ, we have no concerns about what the tribulation will bring here on earth. But we do have great concern over those who are not saved. Over what awaits them. Or whatever comes before the unsaved people. We're concerned about that. So help us to be active in getting the witness out, telling people to get ready, that you're coming back, and you're going to judge the world, and we got to get right with you, Lord, or we're sunk. Well, thank you for my brothers here who are yours, and I pray you will empower them to be mighty force right here wherever you have them to proclaim the gospel and to make disciples. So thank you for meeting us today, and thank you for your precious word. In Jesus' name, amen.